Chapter 8, Strategic Deterrence. Strategic deterrence is an important part of military strategic planning and guidance, and an effective means of maintaining national security and development. With the high technology in the military and the extensive use of new domains and the development and changes of the international strategic situation, the role of strategic deterrence has become increasingly prominent. Under the conditions of the new era, it is necessary to commit to flexible use of strategic deterrence means to create a favorable strategic situation, contain armed conflicts and wars, delay the outbreak of wars, and prevent the escalation and expansion of wars, avoiding or reducing the destruction of war, and safeguard the ever-expanding national security and development interests. Section 1. Basic Concepts of Strategic Deterrence. Although the thought and practice of strategic deterrence has existed since ancient times, its basic concept has not been accurately defined in the long historical process of human endeavors. After the Second World War, with the emergence and development of modern strategic deterrence theory, the definition, elements, types, and functions of strategic deterrence have been obtained, researched extensively, and in great depth. 1. The meaning of strategic deterrence. Strategic deterrence refers to the comprehensive use of various means by the country and the military to achieve certain political goals based on strong military strength through clever demonstration of strength and determination to use strength so that the other party faces unreasonable or even unbearable consequences, thus being forced to give in, compromise, or surrender a form of military struggle. Compared with actual combat, the strength of strategic deterrence is lower, the cost is lower, and the room for maneuver is larger. Under certain conditions, it can directly achieve political goals. It is an important way to fight for military affairs and a strategic means to maintain national security. Strategic deterrence can be implemented both in peacetime and in times of crisis or war. Strategic deterrence targets the opponent's psychological, cognitive, and decision-making systems, and its mechanism of action is to make the opponent realize that certain measures should be taken when weighing the benefits and losses, to show that such action would entail significant costs and losses beyond its capacity and benefits. The greater the loss and cost are foreseen by the other party, the greater the power of reasoning, cognition, and decision-making, and the more effective deterrence will be. Effective strategic deterrence must possess three basic elements: strength, determination, and information transfer. Strength is the foundation of deterrence, and deterrence without strength can only be seen as bluff. Power is divided into hard power and soft power. Hard power includes national literacy, population, economic strength, scientific and technological strength, and military strength. The hard power facts are its main body and core. Soft power mainly includes political influence, diplomatic ability, cultural attraction, and national cohesion, and amplifies the role of hard power. Determination plays an important role in the success of deterrence. Lack of determination can lead adversaries to doubt the veracity of deterrence. Therefore, the will to safeguard sovereignty and security must be transformed into the determination to dare and be effective at using force when necessary with firm willpower and determination. Transmission of deterrence information must communicate strength and determination to use strength to the other side. When the other side receives the deterrence information, it generates psychological fear and cognitive confusion. Deterrence is effective in times of chaos. Through a variety of channels, the strength and determination to use it must be clearly and unmistakably transmitted to the other side, making the deterred person understand the deterrence information correctly so as to produce the expected deterrent effect. Whether strategic deterrence can play an effective role also requires an important condition, that is, whether the deterred person identifies with the desires of the deterrent party, such as knowing the logic, for example, that both sides want to avoid war, reduce losses, and maintain stability. If the decision makers of the deterred side are willing to take risks at all costs, deterrence won't work, resulting in a fight to the death. Therefore, it is necessary to carefully study the psychological characteristics and behavioral patterns of the other decision makers and use deterrence methods flexibly. Targeted and comprehensive pressure will enhance the effect of deterrence of military struggle. 2. Types of strategic deterrence. The types of strategic deterrence can be distinguished when viewed from different angles. According to the nature of deterrence, it can be divided into offensive deterrence and defensive deterrence, according to the scope of action. It can be divided into comprehensive deterrence and partial deterrence. According to the balance of power, it can be divided into superior deterrence, balance of power deterrence, near peer, and non-peer deterrence. It can also be divided into nuclear deterrence and conventional deterrence. In addition, there are some special types of deterrence linked to national conditions and military conditions, such as people's war deterrence. The types of deterrence expand with the development of science and technology, such as outer space deterrence, information deterrence, etc. From the perspective of the mission and task of China's strategic deterrence, we shall focus on nuclear deterrence, conventional deterrence, outer space deterrence, information deterrence, and people's war deterrence. Although there is a certain overlap between these deterrence types, they are relatively independent in application. 1. Nuclear deterrence. Nuclear deterrence refers to the deterrent behavior or state of shocking and deterring opponents by threatening to use nuclear weapons or demonstrating the commitment to implement nuclear counterattacks by our nuclear forces. The essence of nuclear deterrence is to preempt the ability and determination to use nuclear weapons or carry out nuclear counterattacks, as well as the serious consequences that may arise from such actions. It is important to warn the other party, make them fearful by weighing the pros and cons, and be forced to obey the will of the deterrent or give up the original attempt, thereby making the deterrent achieve their own political goals. Nuclear deterrence is based on people's understanding of the destructive effects of nuclear weapons. In 1945, the United States took the lead in developing an atomic bomb, and in August of the same year, it used the atomic bomb to carry out strategic bombing on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in Japan, causing unimaginable destruction. The heavy casualties and destruction shook the world. The huge destructive effect of nuclear weapons has greatly restricted nuclear war, and the deterrent effect has become increasingly prominent. As a result, the concept of nuclear Zhenqi avoidance came into being. The application of nuclear deterrence is based on the development level of nuclear forces of nuclear-armed countries. Generally, nuclear deterrence is divided into three levels. First, maximum nuclear deterrence. In this case, the deterrent party has the numerical and qualitative advantages of the nuclear force. By threatening the armed forces of the adversary, the day of containing and coercing the opponent is achieved. The best way to disarm the adversary is with the first large-scale nuclear strike. Minimum nuclear deterrence relies on a small number of nuclear weapons to threaten the opponent's urban areas and forms a nuclear deterrent to the opponent. The third is medium-intensity nuclear deterrence. It relies on a sufficient and effective nuclear strike force to threaten to inflict a certain level of unbearable damage on the other side. This achieves its deterrence purpose and is a form of nuclear deterrence between the maximum nuclear deterrence and the minimum nuclear deterrence. Nuclear deterrence has significant limitations. On the one hand, due to their tremendous capability for destruction, it is difficult to use them in actual combat. On the other hand, the countries that implement nuclear deterrence also face the danger of nuclear retaliation, which reduces the credibility of nuclear deterrence and the ability of deterring wars. 2. Conventional deterrence. Conventional deterrence is related to nuclear deterrence and refers to deterrence carried out by means of conventional weapons by military forces. Conventional deterrence was originally the basic type of military deterrence. After the Second World War, with the development of nuclear weapons, the role of nuclear deterrence became prominent, and the role of conventional deterrence became less prominent. With the development of the times, the limitations of nuclear deterrence are increasingly exposed, and the role of conventional deterrence has been re-emphasized. The development of high-tech conventional weapons not only narrows the gap between their combat effectiveness and nuclear weapons, but also has higher accuracy and greater controllability. The ability to regulate deterrence is highly controllable, less risky, and generally does not lead to a devastating disaster like a nuclear war, making it credible to achieve political goals. It is a strong deterrent. 3. Outer space. Deterrence in outer space is carried out by means of space military power and is the product of the development of space weapon technology to a certain stage. Currently, more and more countries in the world are engaged in outer space activities. The military application of aerospace technology is quite extensive, and the military competition for space is becoming increasingly fierce. The functions of an army of space include reconnaissance, missile warning, weapon guidance, meteorological support, surveying and mapping support, space environment detection, etc., which can be used for joint military operations. All services and arms utilize continuous, real-time, global positioning, navigation, and timing services. They can prosecute joint operations with wide coverage with large-scale capacity. Communication support with strong anti-interference ability and good secure performance, meeting the needs of command, coordination, and information communication support, require the ability to defend against attacks on available space platforms. Space weapon systems are designed to conduct fire or electronic attacks on military targets on an enemy in space and the upper atmosphere. It can be seen that in the war, under the conditions of informationization and intelligence, the increasingly prominent role of space power, the utilization and counter-utilization, destruction, and counter-sabotage of space systems will have a heavy impact on the course and outcome of a war. The main characteristics of space deterrence are, first, it is strategically prominent and has a great deterrent effect on the enemy. Second, it is dependent on technology, especially space technology. To a high degree, the credibility of deterrence must be established on the basis of feasible and reliable space technology. The third is flexible deterrence means and methods, such as interference, disabling, and destruction of space assets. Destruction as a means of deterrence is restricted by several factors, such as signed treaties on use of space and international public opinion. With the development of space technology, some countries are developing aerospace weapons, such as spacecraft, manned space stations, space shuttles, and launch vehicles. China is actively developing space weapons, building space forces, and the trend of space militarization is becoming more and more obvious, with the struggle for control of the sky increasing fierce and complicated. This new deterrence in the form of space deterrence will become more and more mature and play an increasingly important role. 1. Information deterrence. Information deterrence is a deterrence carried out with the momentum and power of information warfare by virtue of the powerful functions of information science and information technology. With computer technology, as with the rapid development of core information technology, the process of social informatization is accelerating. Information technology is widely used in national power, communications, finance, and transportation. Almost every social field, such as communication, industry, medical care, military, etc., and the daily life of the country, are more dependent on information infrastructure and information networks. The survival of the national information system is directly related to the stability of society, the normal order of people's daily life, and even the peril of the country. A large 119-scale analog information attack may paralyze the social information network, thus causing chaos in the national economic system and causing social unrest and unrest. The main advantage of information deterrence is permeability, because information has the characteristics of substitutability, transferability, diffusibility, sharing, and predictability. Information deterrence can penetrate not only in the military field, but also in all society fields such as politics, economy, culture, technology, etc. The second advantage is ambiguity. In the face of multi-party information deterrence, it is difficult to determine the source of information attack. The information network extends in all directions, and with a single move, the whole body can easily expand the object and scope of deterrence. The third advantage is diversity. Since both soft kills and kinetic weapons can be used to disrupt the other party's information flow, the methods of information deterrence can take various forms, such as unauthorized access, malware, breach of databases, access to electronic intelligence, electronic cyber attack, etc. 2. People's war. Deterrence. People's war deterrence is a type of deterrence that fully demonstrates the great power of people's war to deter the enemy. After the founding of the People's Republic of China, it faced the threat of large-scale foreign invasion for a long time. Our country is fully prepared to fight the people's war, deterring foreign enemies' invasion, safeguarding national sovereignty and security, and creating an example of people's war deterrence. People's war deterrence belongs to self-defense and justice deterrence. Only a people's army that is highly consistent with the interests of the people can implement the deterrence of the people's war. The outcome of a war is determined by the nature of the war and the support of the people. The people's war represents the fundamental interests of the broad masses of people. It is the political basis for mobilizing and participating in the war by all people, and can maximize the war potential of the nation and the country. Once the enemy is caught in the vast ocean of the people's war, it will surely be destroyed. This is the fundamental reason why the people's war has been a powerful deterrent. In addition to politics, organization, leadership, and other factors, the deterrence of the people's war also depends on the country's economy, science, and technology, geography, history, culture, and other factors. A country with a vast land and abundant resources, a large population, a well-developed economy, advanced science and technology, and a tradition and experience in people's warfare has stronger credibility for the deterrence of people's war. Although the world is changing, the basic laws of people's war deterrence have not changed. On the contrary, the development of new high technology, represented by information technology and artificial intelligence technology, has injected new vitality into the people's war deterrence, making it richer in content and form and more flexible and diverse. 3. The role of strategic deterrence. Strategic deterrence has two basic functions. One is to deter the other party from doing what the other party should not do through deterrence, and the other is to coerce the other party into what must be done. The essence of both is to make the opponent submit to the will of the deterrent. Different strategic deterrents based on strength and target have different effects at different times and under different circumstances. In peacetime, strategic deterrence is mainly the use of national military power and the coordination of political, economic, diplomatic, scientific, and technological, cultural, and other strategic forces to influence the development of events, delay, or prevent the outbreak of war. Under modern conditions, the attrition of even a small local war can be enormous. Therefore, making full use of strategic deterrence to contain war, maintain national security and stability, and create a good internal and external environment for national development is in line with the fundamental interests of the country. In general, maintaining strategic deterrence in moderation helps prevent a situation from deteriorating. when the strategic situation is severe and there is an outbreak of war, or when the danger of war is threatened, the use of strategic deterrence may delay the outbreak of war, create conditions for the country to make other political choices, and prepare for war. When the outbreak of war is imminent, implementing strategic deterrence may allow you to seize the last chance to avoid war or allow you to win a war. In particular, the initiative in the first battle can create a favorable military situation for entering a state of war. During wartime, strategic deterrence mainly serves the war, and its role is to show the enemy's appearance with the army facing the city, or show strength with military strikes and small battles and subdue soldiers to win the war. For example, a surgical strike against an enemy in a local war is actually a strategic threat. An application of deterrence in warfare. The two sides of a war are a contradictory unity. In the case of a strategic balance of power between the two sides of the war, one side can adopt the correct strategic policy and skillfully play the role of strategic deterrence, so that the other party can truly feel that the continued confrontation is not worth the loss and it can be shaken. Its lack of determination and will to fight will cause it to give up the attempt to continue the war, thereby breaking the balance of power. A situation of non-equilibrium between the two sides of a war is a strategic deterrence. If the strong is effective, it may soon form a situation in which the strong deter the weak. On the contrary, the weak may adopt a strong strategic deterrent. Deterrence measures may create a transformation from weak to strong. Section 2. China's Strategic Deterrence. Thought Section 2. China's Concept of War Deterrence. Throughout human history, there have been many deterrence practices and enduring deterrence ideas. Expressions such as stop fighting and practice martial arts, subdue the enemy without fighting, and win without direct combat illustrate this. Deterrence theory itself has evolved significantly, particularly after World War II. The catastrophic power of nuclear weapons prompted the United States to develop a modern theory of strategic deterrence aimed at achieving political objectives. Relying on its overwhelming nuclear capability, it used nuclear coercion to pursue aggression and expansion. Other major powers, including the Soviet Union, Russia, the United Kingdom, and France, have likewise placed great emphasis on strategic deterrence. Strategic deterrence is a form of military competition and not the exclusive preserve of any single hegemon. Since the founding of the People's Republic, China has taken strategic deterrence seriously, carrying out numerous deterrence activities in response to international developments, evolving security threats, and the need to safeguard national interests. From these practices, China has formed a strategic deterrence approach with Chinese characteristics. This approach is broad, profound, and distinctive, grounded in principles of self-defense, restraint, flexibility, and effectiveness. Self-defense entails adhering to an active defense posture. We will not strike first, but if attacked, we will retaliate. Deterrence, like war itself, can be employed justly or unjustly. It is unjust to wield the threat of force to pursue hegemony, control other states, or launch invasions. It is just to use deterrence to protect one's own security, preserve regional stability, and safeguard world peace. China's strategic deterrence versus U.S. strategic deterrence. There are three fundamental differences. First, purpose. The United States uses strategic deterrence to leverage its military superiority to pressure other countries and to advance hegemonic objectives, doctrines, and power politics in service of its global strategy. China does not pursue hegemony or aggression. Its use of strategic deterrence aims to prevent foreign aggression, defend national sovereignty, security, and development interests, and maintain a peaceful, stable domestic and international environment. Second, status. The U.S. treats deterrence as a central war strategy, deterrence strategy, embedded in its military doctrine regardless of changes in government or broader strategy. A focus on deterrence supported by large nuclear forces persists consistently. China also values deterrence, but its strategic thinking is fundamentally active and highly defensive. Strategic deterrence is a means, not an end. Third method, U.S. strategic deterrence is tied to hegemonic and expansionist aims, so its application is often aggressive and offensive, as seen in doctrines that emphasize preemption and forward action. China's deterrence also seeks initiative, but that initiative is framed within an overall defensive strategy. It neither seeks to provoke nor to coerce others by force. China pursues a limited approach. It aims to develop a restrained strategic deterrent force to achieve constrained strategic objectives. As a large developing socialist country, China cannot and should not enter an arms race with hegemonic powers. The Soviet experience of unchecked armament expansion offers deep lessons. China does not employ strategic deterrence to compete for global dominance as hegemonic states do. Instead, China focuses on building a rational and adequate strategic capability using limited deterrent forces to deter adversaries and protect national security. Flexibility means that with the goal of maintaining national security according to the objective situation, assess the situation, creatively use various deterrence methods, and maximize the deterrent role of strategic forces. The flexibility of China's strategic deterrence application is mainly reflected in three aspects. First, principle and flexibility are closely linked. Adhering to self-defense and attacking others later is the basic principle of strategic deterrence, but it does not exclude the flexibility of deterrence. When China's consulship sovereignty and the country is violated, the national unity is challenged, and the national development interests are threatened. China has the right to use military means at any time, and it can be carried out, active and effective strategic deterrence, to gain a military advantage. Second, military means are closely integrated with political and diplomatic means. Military strength is the basic force for implementing strategic deterrence, but it is difficult to obtain the expected deterrent effect only by relying on military force. Therefore, China's strategic deterrence emphasizes flexible operations, use political and diplomatic means, closely cooperate with strategic deterrence, and strive for strategic initiative. The third is the close integration of various deterrent measures. The power of the people's war deterrence and nuclear deterrence are the basic means of China's strategic deterrence. The organic combination of the two can produce a huge deterrent effect. At the same time, the development and use of a variety of strategic deterrents means improve the overall effectiveness of deterrence. Effectiveness means that strategic deterrence forces can respond to a variety of threats and ensure the realization of the day when the enemy will be defeated without a fight. China's security has long been faced with the very important need to ensure the effectiveness of deterrence against threats of a near peer and different degrees. Any threat and interference by a state will be met with due retaliation. This requires us to attach great importance to the construction and use of military forces. The question of the effectiveness of deterrence. In terms of strength building, if we only emphasize the limitation, we will be one-sided on the basis of reliable quality. When Mao Zedong mentioned that nuclear weapons should be a little bit more and a little bit less, he especially emphasized that they should be a little better. Therefore, China's strategic deterrence should emphasize effectiveness while emphasizing that limited nuclear forces must meet the requirements of effective retaliation, and conventional strategic forces must meet the requirements of effective retaliation to meet the needs of safeguarding national sovereignty, security, and development interests. In terms of strategic use, to ensure that strategic deterrence is effective, there must be firm determination and will. Effective strategic deterrence should have three basic elements. One is to have a reliable strategic force. The other is to use warfare when necessary. The third is to make the opponent have a correct understanding and appreciation of the above 2 points through rapid and accurate information transmission. This basic deterrent principle tells us that the effect of deterrence depends on the correct determination, strong will, and timely and accurate information when the power is given. The use of my country's strategic deterrence emphasizes rationality, benefit, and restraint, not believing in evil, not afraid of pressure, tit for tat, determined, and daring to fight to win. In the decades of struggle and practice after the founding of the People's Republic of China, we have repeatedly proved with facts that the Chinese people's words are counted, and we have established our country's deterrent form, safeguarded national interests and world peace with credible and effective strategic deterrence. Section 3. Methods of Strategic Deterrence. For strategic deterrence to produce a desired deterrent effect, it must be manifested through strategic deterrence by military actions. The so-called strategic deterrence, military action, refers to a strategic action taken by a country or a political group to force the other party to yield to its own will and show its determination to use force and prepare to use force. It is one of the types of strategic actions, and it is a specific way to transmit deterrence information and implement strategic deterrence. Strategic deterrence is about seeking potential. Although there are many methods, they are all focused on potential. 1. Create an atmosphere of war. Creating an atmosphere of war refers to the use of various means of struggle to create an atmosphere of war that is imminent, deterring opponents with the pressure of imminent war. The main methods are party, country, and military leaders issue statements declaring their determination to hesitate a war. The National People's Congress issues a war mobilization order at an appropriate time, announcing that some areas have entered a wartime state. Troops are deployed to prepare for battle, public opinion and psychological warfare, legal warfare, organized local emergency mobilization, civil air defense, road protection, and defense combat drills, organize the evacuation of frontline masses, issue announcements urging relevant countries to evacuate nationals and office personnel. 2. Show advanced weapons. Weapons with the power of mass destruction and destruction, long-range precision strike capabilities, and other special destruction and destruction effects, such as nuclear weapons, precision-guided weapons, space weapons, and new concept weapons, can produce huge destruction and destruction once they are used. Possessing this type of weapon system and means of attack means possessing the ability to cause tremendous damage to the enemy. The performance and power of advanced weapons can be displayed through military parade, weapon display, weapon test, and actual firing, actual explosion, etc., so that the other party realizes that we have advanced defense and counterattack methods and fears that we will retaliate. The advanced weapon display can be used for general display of military power without a specific target, or it can be implemented in a purposeful and planned manner for a specific threat object. It can be displayed publicly, or it can be processed with ambiguity, leaving the opponent with speculation and imagination. It can be combined with demonstrations of major military operations, such as weapon testing, force deployment, and military exercises, and can also be implemented through military and diplomatic activities, such as visits during high-level exchanges of visits and visits by warships. 3. Holding military exercises. Military exercises include strategic campaign exercises and tactical exercises, as well as bilateral or multilateral joint military exercises with other countries' armed forces. Military exercises against specific threats are not only an effective method of military training, but also an important way to implement strategic deterrence. Large-scale strategic campaign exercises can directly produce a strategic deterrent effect. Small and medium-scale tactical exercises can also play a strategic deterrent effect under certain conditions. Military exercises for the purpose of deterrence can be conducted in public or in a closed or semi-open state. Through exercises, we can demonstrate our military's combat capabilities to the opponent, but also cause the opponent to doubt our intentions, cause psychological panic and produce a deterrent effect. 4. Adjust military deployment. Adjusting military deployment is an important part of war preparations and a way of strategic deterrence. When security threats increase and may trigger a crisis, appropriate adjustments should be made to military deployment to send a real deterrent signal to the opponent to make it feel the pressure of the coming war. The use of readjusting military deployments to implement strategic deterrence should be based on both fiction and reality. The main methods are: military forces are maneuvering and gathering in a specific direction, increasing the deployment of new combat warships, such as combat tactical missiles, advanced fighters, aircraft carriers, and other advanced weapons, forwarding strategic materials, implementing large-scale force forwards to carry out strategic deployment and even campaign deployment to form a combat configuration, land-based, sea-based, or space-based strategic nuclear weapons, implement maneuvers, etc. 5. Raising the level of combat readiness. The level of readiness is a reflection of the degree of preparedness for war, and raising the level of combat readiness means that the intensity of war preparations will increase. When major threat signs appear, it is publicly announced to raise the level of combat readiness and coordinated with actions such as adjusting the deployment of troops, accelerating battlefield construction, strengthening intelligence reconnaissance, and patrolling vigilance. If necessary, local mobilization will be carried out to set off an upsurge of national defense education for the whole people and create an atmosphere in which, if the opponent forces the choice of war on us, we will act resolutely and will not hesitate to fight a battle. This can create a kind of pressure that will discourage the enemy and give up the planned actions and designs. 6. Implementing information attacks. Implementing information attacks refers to organizing military and local information attack forces to attack the enemy's command and early warning and air defense and anti-missile systems. The main methods are the use of electronic jamming drones to carry out electromagnetic campaigns and feints to create a situation of military pressure, the use of satellite communication jamming forces to interfere with enemy communication satellites and maritime satellites, the use of electronic warfare aircraft to detect and guide the enemy's early warning radar. Implement interference. Use various interference forces to interfere with enemy early warning aircraft and data links. Use television interference forces to suppress or replace enemy TV programs. Organize network warfare forces as appropriate to attack the enemy's potential target network for war. 7. Restrictive military operations. Restrictive military operations refer to the adoption of forcible control measures in a certain area to squeeze the opponent's operating space and restrict opponent's movement. The main methods are, in the name of military exercises, weapon test firings, etc., delimit exercise areas, test areas or no-fly zones, no-sail zones, and implement control and isolation of local sea areas and airspaces. Organize ships and aircraft to implement oppressive close reconnaissance and patrol and interfere with the other party's routine military activities. Action near the other party's sea and air lines of communication, threatening the safety of its air routes and waterways. The purpose of restrictive military operations is to create a situation of force pressure on the enemy, thereby producing a deterrent effect. 8. Warning military strikes. A warning military strike is a small-scale strike against a specific target with a small number of selected troops in response to the enemy's serious provocative behavior. Its purpose is not to destroy the opponent's military power or destroy the other's important targets, but to show the ability to strike and the determination to strike when necessary, and to enhance the effectiveness of deterrence by means of small battles. Warning military strikes usually choose a small number of military and political targets that have obvious deterrent effects, are relatively isolated and easy to fight, and will not harm the people. Strategic combat missiles or air assault forces are used to implement long-range precision strikes. long-range artillery firepower assault, or special operations can also be implemented under certain circumstances. Warning military strikes do not aim at war, but are intended to deter. Therefore, it is necessary to correctly judge the situation, strictly control the means and scale of strikes, and prevent the escalation and expansion of operations and evolve into war. Different deterrence methods are interrelated and interact. They can be used alone or in combination of two or more, so as to form different levels and strengths of deterrence. Therefore, it is necessary to flexibly use strategic deterrence methods to achieve the expected deterrence effect in accordance with different situations such as threat status, threat size, and opponent characteristics. Section 4. Guidance of Strategic Deterrence. The use of strategic deterrence has its own characteristics and laws, and it is also affected by uncertain factors, and there are many accidents. Strategic deterrence is an important part of military strategy, which has an important influence on the implementation of military strategy and the realization of national interests. Therefore, it is necessary to grasp some important principles and requirements as a whole and apply them flexibly in the implementation process. 1. Pay attention to comprehensive advantages. Strategic deterrence is a comprehensive struggle that integrates military politics, economy, diplomacy, science and technology, and culture. Military power is the main body of deterrence, and struggles in other fields also have unique and irreplaceable roles. It is necessary to strengthen centralized and unified leadership, closely coordinate and cooperate to form a multi-domain and all-round deterrent situation against the enemy, and create an atmosphere and strengthen the effect with the overall advantages of the system. Pay attention to the legal struggle and the use of psychological offense and defense, and make full use of legal weapons and public opinion tools to serve deterrence. At the same time, in view of the international situation and the surrounding environment, carefully manage the relationship between major powers and various surrounding forces, create a strategic environment that is beneficial to oneself and unfavorable to the enemy, and create favorable external conditions for the implementation of strategic deterrence. 2. Flexible choice and use of deterrence methods. Strategic deterrence methods include traditional methods such as nuclear deterrence and people's war deterrence, as well as new methods such as information deterrence and space deterrence. According to the strategic needs, the development and changes of the strategic situation, and the characteristics of various deterrence methods, the deterrence methods that can effectively achieve the strategic objectives should be selected. Different methods should be selected according to different struggle objects, especially the weak links of the strong enemy's strategic system and the sensitive parts of its psychological, cognitive, and decision-making systems. Select as the means that can cause the greatest deterrence and deterrence effect. Pay attention to the comprehensive use of various deterrence methods to form an effective deterrence system and produce a comprehensive deterrent effect to the enemy. Organically combine nuclear deterrence with conventional deterrence, people's war deterrence, and high-tech deterrence, peacetime deterrence and crisis, and wartime deterrence. 3. Correctly grasp the timing of deterrence. The timing of strategic deterrence mainly includes when the enemy has the intention to provoke, when a crisis event occurs, when the enemy adjusts and prepares for battle, and when the enemy initiates an armed conflict. In military conflicts, we should distinguish the deterrent objects, focus on the development of the situation, and flexibly grasp the enemy's psychological characteristics, cognition, and decision-making process. Generally speaking, the best time to use deterrence is when the other party is making strategic weighing, comparing, choosing, and testing. That is, when the other party is trying to take some kind of harmful action, but it is not very sure yet, and the final determination has not yet been made. At this time, show your strength and determination to the other party, and let the other party realize that if you take action, it will cause serious consequences. It may make it difficult for the other party to form a will to act, despite the risky thoughts, or if the will to act is formed, it will hesitate and not be able to put it into practice. 4. Form a deterrent situation at the right time. The deterrence posture is the use of deterrence and deterrence methods to create a state, and in this state, one can form a certain degree of deterrence and containment to the other party. The deterrent situation can be divided into peacetime, crisis time, and wartime. In peacetime, in accordance with the threats to national security, we should strengthen the building of military forces, steadily advance preparations for military conflict, continuously enhance military strength and war potential, master as many strategic means as possible, shape an unrepentant image of deterrence, and deter opponents from invading and attempts and actions that endanger our country's interests. When a crisis occurs, we should respond quickly on the basis of usual preparations, use strategic preset forces and emergency mobile combat forces to show our military presence and operational capabilities in conflict areas, airspace, sea areas, and prevent opponents from taking actions that worsen the situation. To deter wars, to contain crises, to contain wars. In wartime, the establishment of a strategic operational layout that can not only meet the needs of current operations, but also prevent further escalation of warfare, can not only carry out deterrent attacks on direct combat targets, but also form an effective deterrent position against military intervention by powerful enemies, forming a favorable situation with a deterrent. 5. Effective transmission of deterrence information. The transmission of deterrence information in warfare, deterrence with war, and deterrence at the same time means to clearly inform the other party of our political purpose, determination, and strength preparation, and be correctly understood by the other party. In the transmission of deterrence information, it is necessary to demonstrate our strong power to carry out punitive and retaliatory strikes, point out the serious consequences that will inevitably lead to if the enemy insists on going its own way and take risks, declare our determination and will to safeguard core interests at all costs, and show that we are tolerable limits, set an insurmountable bottom line for the other party, and put forward the terms of exchange that the enemy will get if it changes its wrong position and behavior. Deterrence information transmission should make full use of various communication and communication methods, which can communicate directly with the enemy's decision makers or indirectly through a third party. Under the conditions of informatization and intelligence, radio broadcasting, television, and other media, as well as the internet and new media, are all important ways to transmit information. 6. Actively regulate and control deterrence actions. Strategic deterrence actions must obey the needs of safeguarding national interests, closely cooperate with political and diplomatic struggles, and regulate and control the methods used, the timing of actions, the deployment of forces, and the transmission of information in a timely manner, especially the timely assessment of deterrence effects and grasp the strength and rhythm of deterrence to enhance the effectiveness of deterrence. Efforts must be made to maintain the flexibility of strategic deterrence. The objectives and means of deterrence must be firm and flexible, pressure and levels slow and controllable, and have appropriate strategic leeway to deal with various unexpected situations. It is necessary to strengthen the use of strategies, plan strategic deterrence with new ideas, assess the situation, grasp the overall situation, grasp the key points, attack the ambition, and firmly grasp the initiative in the entire process of strategic deterrence operations. 7. Carefully plan the transition from deterrence to actual combat. Deterrence and actual combat are two closely related military conflict methods. Deterrence must be backed by actual combat. Deterrence lacking actual combat capability and combat preparation is often difficult to achieve strategic goals. We must engage in deterrence like actual combat and increase the degree of deterrence in actual combat. if deterrence can force the other party to give up their attempts and behaviors to harm us and achieve the goal of defeating others without fighting, of course, it is an ideal result. However, if the other party insists on going its own way and causes deterrence to fail, if there is no corresponding actual combat preparation, it can only swallow the bitter fruit of damage to interests and image and pay a great strategic price. Therefore, deterrence must be fully prepared for actual combat. If deterrence is convinced that deterrence is invalid, it must be transferred to actual combat at the right time, and the established strategic goals must be achieved through actual combat methods. The transformation from deterrence to actual combat is a qualitative change. It cannot be blindly and rashly. It must be carefully planned, strictly controlled, accurately grasped, and acted in a timely manner. Deterrence should be organically combined with actual combat preparations and actual combat operations. Deterrence should be integrated to prepare for combat. In the process of deterrence struggles, we should be ready to switch to actual combat at any time to ensure the deterrence effect. In actual combat operations, we strive for strategic initiative and safeguard national interests.